There are some parts of the Bible, I think, that when we come to them and when we read them, we just kind of skip over them because we say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with me. We come to the genealogies, Matthew chapter 1, and we might just kind of skip over them. Well, those don't really have anything to do with me. If you're not married, you might come to some of those passages that have to do with marriage, and well, you just kind of skip over that. That doesn't have anything to do with me. Come to some of those passages that talk about parenting and how to raise children. Well, if I don't have any children, that doesn't have anything to do with me. Or passages that talk about how children are to honor their parents. Well, you know, my parents have been gone for a while. That doesn't have anything to do with me. There's some of those passages, even like the one that was read from Ephesians chapter 6. Some of those passages where the Bible directs instructions to servants, bond servants in the New King James, they're called slaves in the New American Standard, and to their masters down in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9, we read these verses that are written to servants, slaves, and their masters, and we think, well, that doesn't have anything to do with me either. And we skip right over it. This morning, I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 6, and I want you to get your Bible out, because these verses in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9 are not verses that we just need to skip over and say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm not a servant. I'm not a master. These don't apply to me. They very much do apply to every single one of us. In a primary application, they have to do with the relationship that you may have with your employer or that you may have with your employees if you own a business. They emphasize the relationship that you are to have with those who may be over you in the workplace or in some kind of service. This morning, I don't want us to focus in on that kind of a relationship, because I believe the application can be made from this passage, from these verses, that applies to every single Christian in our relationship to God. This morning, we will be appointing 7 deacons at the end of our service. The word deacon simply means that one is a minister or a servant. That's what the Greek word means, that one who is appointed as a deacon is appointed as a special servant with special tasks in the church. But that doesn't mean that deacons are the only ones who serve. And that doesn't mean that there's not service for everyone else, and doesn't mean that there's not even service that the elders do. Christians are servants of the Lord. Every single one of us are servants of the Lord. And it is our duty to respond to our Master in heaven, as he's called in verse 9, to respond to our Master in heaven as his servants and obey him. Now look at these verses, and I want you to see, this isn't just about a slave-master relationship. Every one of these verses emphasizes the relationship that a Christian has to his Father. Look in verse 5. Where the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart." What are the last words you have of verse 5? "As to Christ." This is talking about the relationship. This is talking about what kind of relationship I need to have as a servant of Christ. Look in verse 6. As he continues this discussion to these servants, he says, "Don't do this with eye service or as men pleasers, but do it as what? Bond servants of Christ." Every verse here emphasizes that the application is much broader than simply a slave-master relationship, but it has to do with a Christian to God, a servant of Christ to Christ relationship. Look in verse 7. You have it again. In verse 7, he says, "With goodwill, doing service as to who?" Here he's writing to servants in their relationship to their master, but he says, you do it as service to the Lord. And then you see it again in verse 8, where he says, "Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord." While we might see this passage and say, well, this doesn't have anything to do with me. This is talking about slaves and masters, and we don't live in that day anymore. We don't have that in our culture anymore. This doesn't have anything to do with us. This has everything to do with us. This has everything to do with our relationship with God. And this morning, I want us very briefly just to look at 5 characteristics that we find in these verses that need to show us how we relate to our God. And how, as His servants, we need to respond to Him as our Master in heaven. First thing we see is in verse 5. Look at verse 5 where He says, to these bondservants, you need to be obedient. And He goes on and He tells them to be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, but to be obedient with fear and trembling. It is our responsibility as Christians, as servants of God, to be reverent. Are you reverent? When you think about God's will for your life, do you receive it with reverence? Do you receive it with fear and trembling? The very idea here is one of complete devotion, not to self, but of complete devotion to God. One who has a complete desire, his only desire is to do the will of God. When you pick up and you read the words from your master, are you struck with a sense of awe at His majesty? Are you struck with a sense of deep devotion because of His love? Are you struck with a deep sense of reverence because of all that He has done for us? This idea of fear and trembling is found over in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 15. This same phraseology was used by Paul in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 15, where Paul said, when Titus came to you, to this church, he says, you received Titus with fear and trembling. Does that mean they were afraid of Titus? That's not what this is talking about. It's not talking about, well, I'm shaking in my boots at the presence of God. They received Titus with reverence for who he was. They received Titus with a deep sense of awe for what he had accomplished, and because he was a messenger of Paul. What do I need to do when I come before God? I need to obey Him with fear and trembling, with a complete dread of ever disappointing Him. As you were growing up, I know some of our homes were a lot different than the rest, and I know some of your homes may not have been the best environment for you to grow up in. But for some of us, as you grew up, did you have a dread disappointing your parents? Did you dread just the idea that you might do something that would offend your dad? Him down. The very actions that we took growing up, many of us in our homes, we reflected on our choices and we thought, I don't want to do anything that would upset my dad. Not just upset my dad. I don't want to do anything that would disappoint him. Make him disappointed in me. That's being obedient to our parents. Not because we're shaking in our boots, afraid of them and what they'll do to us. But it's obedient to our parents with a deep sense of reverence, fear and trembling. Do we have that for the God of heaven? As His servants, do we have a deep sense of reverence? But look at what else verse 5 tells us. That it's not just this idea that we are to obey Him with fear and trembling. Not just that we are to serve Him with fear and trembling. Not just that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, as Philippians 2 would say. But this verse also says that in our service to God, we are to be real. Not insincere. Not fake. But to be real. Notice that he says to be obedient, the first part of verse 5, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of your heart. As you serve God, are you real? You know, God can tell if we are real in our service or not. God can tell if we're faking it or not. Young people, you need to be careful because your parents can tell if you're faking it or not. You might think you have them snowed, but your parents, they might actually figure out if you're faking it or not, if you're being sincere or not in your obedience. You might go and do what they say, but if you're stomping all the way when you go and do what they say, there's a little bit of sincerity and genuineness that's missing. As servants of God, God has called us to be real in our service. To serve Him in sincerity of heart. You may have the word here instead of the word sincerity. Your translation may say to serve Him in singleness of heart. That's the idea here. It's not a divided heart. It's not a heart that sometimes is serving God and is sometimes serving someone else. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 6:24? No man can serve two masters. You got to pick one. And so God says, if you're going to serve me, you need to serve me with singleness, a single-minded focus that says, this is the God I want to serve. Not just deciding I'm going to do that on Sundays. Not a single-minded focus on Sundays. And then the rest of the week, I can be a little bit divided. Even in our work, even in our jobs, even in our school, even in our activities of the week, our service, our lives are primarily a devotion to God. We need to set Him and His interest and His desires foremost in our lives. Not just at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, but at 10 o'clock on a Monday morning and at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night and at every other o'clock on every other day of the week. It's our responsibility to serve God with a heart that is upright before Him, never being ashamed of the name that we wear, never being ashamed that we live differently than the world, never being ashamed that we walk differently than the world, never being ashamed that we think differently than the world, but standing upright in our service to God and doing so with a sincere heart. If you've got your Bibles, go back to that Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles. In that last chapter, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17, David says something very interesting where he's praying to God in these verses. And he says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 17, I know also, my God, I know, God, that you test the heart. Interesting that David would say that, because when David was selected to be the king, it was on that occasion in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, where Samuel was there at the house of Jesse to find the next king of Israel, that the Bible says God does not look on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. It's interesting that David here, near the end of his life, is saying to God, God, I know that it's not the outside that you test. I know, God, that you look beyond the outside. I might be doing it on the outside, but God, I know that you're testing the heart. And he says, I know, oh my God, that you test the heart and you have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. Brethren, can we pray that to God? Can we pray to God and say, God, I know that you look upon my heart. You test my heart. And I know what you're looking for in me is an upright heart. And God, what I have offered to you has been from a heart that is real. When you serve God, you need to do so with sincerity of heart. Hold your finger here. 1 Chronicles, we'll come back. But go back to Ephesians chapter 6. What else do we see? Look at the next verse. Look in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6, where we also see that in our service to God that we need to be respectful. In verse 6, he says, not with eye service. Don't be serving your fellow man. Don't be serving others just so that they can see you. Don't just do what the boss says when the boss is looking. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, the end of verse 6, doing the will of God from the heart. What is the emphasis of our lives? It's not just going out and doing, but it's the doing of the will of God. What's the emphasis in here? The emphasis in here is on selflessness, learning that it's not all about me. What's the emphasis here? The emphasis here is on submission. Doing not my will. Isn't that the passage that Nathanael read before the Lord's Supper? When Jesus prayed and he said, God, if it be at all possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, in submission, what did Jesus pray? Not my will, but your will be done. In a respectful heart, God expects us to express the same thing. To submit ourselves before Him and with a heart of servitude. To conscientiously say, I don't want to just know the will of God. I don't want to just believe the will of God. I want to live the will of God. I want my path to be lit and to follow the will of God. Go back to 1 Chronicles chapter. Look at those early words of David's prayer. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning verse 10. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Here's a way that we need to pray. Here's a way that we need to be able to say to God, God, I am reverent. I am real. I am respectful. Look in verse 11. Yours, O Lord, not mine. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness. Yours, O Lord, is the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty for all that is in heaven and all that is in earth. It's not mine, God, it's yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you, God, you are the one who is exalted, not me. You're head over all. We need in a humble heart to respect the will of God and to understand in verse 12 that both riches and honor, they don't come from ourselves, they come from God. And God, you reign over all. In your hand is power and might, and in your hand is to make great and to give strength. It's not in our hands to attain our own greatness. It's not in our hands to attain our own strength. In God's hands it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, you, O God, we thank you. It's not about us. It's about Him. And we praise your glorious name. David says, but who am I? Who am I and who are my people? That we should be able, who are we that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, O God, and of your own we have given you. What we've given back to you, God, it's not even ours. Everything we have comes from you. When it comes time for us to serve God, do we do so with a heart of selflessness, a heart of submission, a heart of servitude? It says, God, I just want to do what you want me to do. But come back to Ephesians chapter 6. Look in verse 7. God says, as servants, we're not only to be reverent, we're to be real, we're to be respectful. But verse 7 says that we are to be relentless in our service. Verse 7, he says, with goodwill. Doing, present tense, over and over and over, not stopping. Doing service as to the Lord and not to men. When we serve God, it does not need to be a burden that we have to bear. Oh, well, I have to go to church today. And I know I can't do that. I have to go back to church tonight. No, I can't do that. I have to go over here and do this. No, I can't go to that party because I have to be a Christian and I have to do. We don't need to see our service to God as some kind of a burden that we have to bear. We need to see our service to God as a privilege that we get to serve the Almighty God. That we have the opportunity to give our lives to God and say, God, use me. Do whatever you want with me. And not to find the minimum amount. Not to say, what's the least I have to do to get by? Not to read the Bible and say, well, if I just do this, will that be enough? But to say, God, you've given your all to me. I can't give you enough back. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. The Bible says, here's the love of God. Here's the love of God. You want to know what the love of God is? The Bible tells us all sorts of things in Scripture that the love of God is. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Here's the love of God, that He loved us before we loved Him. Here's the love of God, 1 John 5 and verse 3, that you keep His commandments. Here's the love of God, that you keep His commandments, that you serve Him. What does the rest of that verse say? Because His commandments are not burdensome. If you feel that the will of God, if you feel that the commandments of God are burdensome, God did not make them that way. We did. It is a choice that we make whether we serve God or not. And if we're going to be servants, God says, be relentless in your service, recognizing that we're not doing it. We're not doing it in order that we might show God how great we are, but that we're doing it to express our love back to God. One other thing we see in Ephesians chapter 6, and that's in verse 8. And that is that servants who are reverent, servants who are real, servants who are respectful, servants who are relentless, are the servants who will be rewarded. What's the first word you have in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8? I have the word knowing. Not thinking, not dreaming, not hoping. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free, it doesn't matter. He's going to receive the same reward from God. If we serve God, we are going to be rewarded. That demands work on our part. That demands trust on our part. But it also demands that we understand it's not that we are going to be rewarded because we deserve it. It's not going to be that we're going to be rewarded because of all the good that we have done. Boy, God, here's all the good I've done. You better do at least this good and give it back to me for all that I've given to you. Jesus says in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10 that we need to understand that at the end of the day, we are all unprofitable servants. Not because we haven't been blessed. That's not what the word unprofitable means. Not because we haven't been rewarded. That's not what the word unprofitable means. That we are unprofitable servants because we ourselves have not done anything to earn the profit. But we are rewarded by the grace of a loving God. The Bible says, be faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life. The Bible says, endure until the end, and you shall be saved. There are blessings, there are rewards that come for our service. But it's not because of how good we are, it's because of how good He is. He calls upon us to serve Him. He calls upon us to do the duty that is ours as Christians to do. Not to do it because we have to do it, but to do it reverently. To do it with a real heart. To do it respectfully. To do it relentlessly. As you think about your life as a Christian, what kind of servant are you? We have a Master who is in heaven. And if you read this passage in Ephesians chapter 6, as not just an earthly slave with an earthly master relationship, but with a Christian servant with his heavenly master. I hope this will change our attitude and service to God. I hope this will increase our love and our devotion to serving God. That it will not be just something we have to do, it's something we get to do. It's not something that I'm looking for the minimum, but it's something I'm looking for the absolute most that I can possibly do. Are you serving your master? Question is this morning, have you ever obeyed your master? You know, the Bible tells us that God has a plan by which you and I can be saved. God has a plan by which we can obey our Master in order to become one of His children, in order to become one of the people in His kingdom, one of His citizens, in order that we might serve Him. The Bible says all that we need to do is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to trust Him, to have faith that Jesus is the one who died for my sins on that cross, who was buried and that He was raised again by the power of God in order that I might live eternally. Do you believe that with all of your heart? The Bible says if you want to obey the Master, you need to repent. You need to change your mind about life, about sin, about who you are going to serve. And in repentance, you say, I don't want to serve self anymore. I don't want to serve Satan anymore. I don't want to serve sin anymore. I want to serve my Master in heaven. If you're ready to make that decision this morning, you can with your mouth. Confess the faith that's in your heart, and you can be baptized. Just like they were in the Bible, to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of every one of your sins. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been buried with Christ into His death so that the blood of Jesus at that moment when you submit to Him might wash away your sins? But you see, once you become a servant, God expects you to be a faithful servant. If you are not faithful, you will not hear the words at the end, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Are you a servant of God? Are you a faithful servant of God? We can help you in any way this morning to get your life right with your Master in heaven. Please come as together we stand and sing.